What's up, Transition Tribe? This is your girl, Sasha. I am so excited to introduce a new episode to you all. And this episode, Jasmine and I dive into a wonderful conversation about comparison versus motivation with Yana Cello. Whoop, whoop. Yes, Yana Cello. If you're from Chicago, you've probably heard the name. Maybe you haven't. But anyway, Ayana, which is her full government name, well, her full government first name, at least. Ayana's from Chicago. We actually went to college together, and she really has taken off with her career as a musician since then. She has an interesting story. It's extremely motivating as well for people who have played instruments in the past. Cough, cough. Me. So definitely enjoy the episode. We hope that you get something from it. We hope that you can utilize social media as a tool to be motivated and not compare within whatever journey that you're in. We truly believe that whatever your God-given gift is and talent, that you have a lane of your own. It's really cool to hear Ayana talk about the lane that she is currently in as a Black female cellist in the city of Chicago. So we hope that you enjoy this episode. Sit back, relax, grab some popcorn, get your tub of ice cream, whatever it may be, and enjoy the episode. Thanks, Transition Tribe. Much love always. Hey, what's up, guys?
Hello.
You got Sasha.
Jasmine.
And
Ayana.
Ayana! Woo!
Whose edges are laid, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
If you guys could see.
They're always laid, though. Listen, okay? How are you, boo?
I'm great. Thanks. Aww. How are you? Because we didn't just do this.
I know, right? So, a little bit of background. Ayana and I met in college. So, I'm trying to think of, like, the moment that we met, but I don't really remember. But I remember that we were going to be on a Caribbean Student Association board
and
together.
And we never made it happen.
And it never happened.
Yes.
Oh, because you guys are both Jamaican.
Yeah, yes. I feel like that's why, that's how we connected. Did we meet at ACA? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I feel like the Jamaicanness was a part of it, though.
For sure. Jamaicans are always very active on campus. Like, you were always doing something. Like, whether it was a natural hair, what was it called? Like, that organization.
Curls Gone Wild.
Curls Gone Wild.
Yes, the Atlanta Union Board, CBSU.
All of that.
Cotton Club.
Busy.
All of it.
RA.
Yeah,
we were both RAs.
You were all over the place too. So
yes, I was very business focused. Okay. But yeah, so we met in college, and just like I've really seen Ayana's trajectory in terms of like not only as a friend, but also with your music journey. Because I know you went to like school and then you transitioned. So like, just talk about like what was life after college like for you? Like, what's your transition? Like your story, if you will.
Okay, so I started playing the cello when I was 10 years old, performed all throughout my childhood nationwide, and then, of course, I decided to major in music, went to U of I. My first semester, I was like, oh, this is not for me. I instantly switched my major, and I kind of just stopped playing the cello throughout my entire college career through undergrad and grad school, so that was about 7 years, I want to say, that I just didn't play the cello. And after I graduated from U of I still didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I know I liked what I was doing, which was a lot of student involvement. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that a career for that would be called higher education and student affairs. So I got my master's in higher education, student affairs, and I did my assistantships, graduateships, all that kind of stuff. And when it was time to graduate, I realized, like, I am not trying to work for somebody else. I'm not trying to be overworked and underpaid. I love higher education and college students, and I want to make a difference in that area, but not the way that everybody else is doing it. So I was just like, either I figure out how to be self-employed, which my main talent would be the cello, or I work for somebody else and be miserable. Like, I already know my personality and my mental health will go down the drain if I'm working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So, how do I keep going?
Yeah, no, you're good.
So, I I graduated with my master's, and the summer after, I was honestly at just a low point trying to figure out what to do. I don't want to get a job. But then I ended up doing research at the University of Chicago as a part-time job. And because it was part,
That's cool.
It was dealing with incarceration, prisoner reentry. It was some good work. It was very interesting. But because it was part-time, it allowed me to still pursue the cello while having some funds to invest back into it. So I started taking lessons again, which I think musicians need to do, especially if you quit playing for 7 years. You need to have an outside expertise teach you again. So I was trying to get my skills up, all that. And I posted my first cover, which was Mask Off by Future.
Was that the first one?
Yes. And honestly, looking back on it, it makes me cringe. Like, oh God, like I look uncomfortable. I look timid. I don't sound as good as I sound today. But I got a lot of positive feedback. And to put yourself on social media, sharing your talents, especially if you don't feel adequate enough, is very nerve-wracking. And if you've ever grown up in classical, which I know you know,
Miss Lucinda, come through.
Love you. So if you go from playing classical, very strict and anal field, if you will, and go to trying to fuse that with popular music, or it's just not respected by classical musicians and by the general audience, it's very interesting to watch and look at, but you just never know how it's going to be received. So. Trying that for the first time, I had to completely retrain my ear, learn how to improv. It was just a very uncomfortable experience. But I also knew, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go all the way, because I don't want to work for somebody else. That was my main motivation, is I don't want to work for somebody else. And so after that, I got a lot of great feedback. And honestly, my first performance back playing was with Four.
Black Ink Crew.
Black Ink Crew Chicago, and he was opening for Twista. So I actually performed with him.
Why do I feel like that was last year?
That was November, 2017?
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Time flies.
Yeah. Wow. And and ever since then, like, everything has just taken off. I've been booked consistently. And it got to a point where I was still working part-time at UChicago doing research, but my funding for my position was about to run out. So it was either get a new part-time job or get a full-time job and not play as much, or just do this full-time. And it was extremely nerve-wracking to not have any other income coming in. But I was just like, realistically, it's such a time-consuming thing to perform and learn new music, all that kind of stuff, that I might as well just go for it, make it work, and if it doesn't, at least I tried. And of course, I have my mom's support, financially and emotionally, because she's always wanted me to play the cello. And if you know my story, she worked in exchange for my lessons for free when we were at a hard financial time as a kid. And so I feel like because she made that investment, she has a personal connection with if I succeed with this or not. So as soon as I made that decision to do this full time after my funding was up, is when I got my first out of town gig with BMW.
That is a huge deal.
That was like, I want to say a week or two later after I took that leap of faith and just went full in. I got a call from a contact from BMW saying, like, we have this Women's Diversity Award such and such, and we want to fly you out to New York this weekend. Would you be able to go? And I'm like,
of course.
I'm doing anything.
That's right.
So
that's awesome.
With that, that led to several other gigs with BMW and a lot of other opportunities. And from then, it's just been nonstop. So,
Shout out to Macy's, right?
Yes, Macy's has been the most recent brand I've worked with. So yeah, but a large part of that has been social media, like putting my videos on social. Anytime I post a video, I get requests coming in. Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you perform for this? And yeah, and it's still to this day nerve-wracking to post videos and just put yourself out there.
Yeah,
but it always pays off.
I feel like that's the hard part, like the fact that you have the confidence to just do it, because you said it was cringy, like, at first.
Yeah.
But let me tell you how many people, like, double, you know, they doubt themselves and like, I'm not going to post this at all.
Yes.
And it's like, you don't know where that could go, where it could take you. And so, like, the fact that you had the confidence to do that from the beginning, like, has changed your whole life almost.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of, like, just, like, a week or so ago, I was on social media just, like, scrolling, and then I see, like, friends from like grade school, and I'm like, because I'm a writer, so then I'm looking, and then I'm like, wait, you're a screenwriter and you're doing what film? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how did I not know this? Mm-hmm. Or I'm like, oh, well, I wonder, you know, why we haven't contacted each other. And I'm like, well, they don't even know that I'm a writer because I haven't put that out there. You know what I mean? So it's like part of it is that fear of not wanting to do that. But then it's like, how are you going to get jobs, or how are you going to get those connections and those collaborations if you don't put yourself out there?
True. And so I was like, ugh. No, you know? And going off of that, like, one of the biggest motivations also has been, oh, Beyonce. No, for her Coachella performance, the fact that she brought so many millennials from all over the country that have put their talents on social media, a lot of them social media famous, and have their own following off of dancing, music. Yeah. One of my favorite violinists that I follow, Enzima.
She's awesome.
It's just like the fact that Beyonce intentionally reached out to that type of population, social media artists, is just like, there's it's no amazing. Point for me not to put it out there. Yeah. There's absolutely no point.
And talking about preparation, she prepared 8 months in advance. Like four months of music, of all the dancing and performance aspect. Like preparation is real, and I feel like people don't want to put in that work.
They
like
don't.
It's not the sexy part of, like, you know, the success story. It's like, I gotta do, you know.
She's known to be a perfectionist too, so that's what I mean. But then that goes back to, like, also don't just be putting anything on social media now. If you want to be out there and like take that leap of faith, you need to know that you got your stuff down packed. And not saying it has to be perfect, because there's always room for improvement. But, like, you also need to know, like, I've worked for this, and now I'm going to show the world. Not just I'm just going to just do anything.
Exactly. And, you know, that's your reputation.
Yeah, for sure. Right. So, going back to in the very beginning, you mentioned that you had to sort of retrain your ear and, like, go back to, like, start relearning things over again. And I can only imagine that was probably very humbling, because, like,
that's a very good word.
Going from, like, knowing, I mean, not saying you knew everything, but going from, like, knowing so much and being, like, really confident in it, and then just not doing it, and, like, having to go back and kind of start over, like, that's a whole transition in itself. So, like, what was
it
that is. Like?
It was extremely frustrating, because on one end, you want to hurry up, put videos out there, like, but on the other, I'm not about to put videos out there if I'm out of tune, if I'm my finger is looking broken, like, my technique is off, because once again, the general population, majority of my followers, they're not classical musicians, but those few that are, they will treat you, come for you, and the black, especially the black classical world, is so small that it's just like, if you're going to be a musician on social media, you want to be a respected one by the supporters as well as respected musicians. So I think for me, I had to realize that, like, putting my first few videos out, they're not going to be perfect, and if anything, like, my videos show a very clear progression in my technique, my improv, and my intonation. But I didn't know how to improv at all. And my mom had to help me a lot with that, because she plays piano. So she would help me.
Well, that's helpful.
It is. She would help me pick out the notes, or I would have to go on YouTube. And if it's, like, a popular song, like Mask Off, I would look up, like, how to play Mask Off on the piano, and a bunch of piano tutorials will show up. I will look at the sheet music, transpose treble clef to bass clef, and, like, it was such a process just to get basic melodies down. But now I can hear the key, I can figure it out, and it's a much, but it just once again goes to show, like, the practice is so key, being consistent, because, you know, your ear trains itself with practicing.
Right.
So
that's pretty cool. I feel like, okay, in the black community, you don't see a lot of classically trained musicians or just musicians at all, because, let's be honest, it takes money. It costs
it
money
does.
To take
it's
lessons.
An investment.
And a lot of people were not exposed to that. It's not their fault. But I feel like it's a very small niche. And so, like, I know you started the Yannicello Foundation. So, like, is it aimed towards, like, having younger kids get interested? Like, what is the focus with that in terms of the organization?
Thanks for asking. Okay, so with that, I wanted to have our three main goals focus on environmental sustainability, because that was one of my majors in college, and, well, specifically urban environmental sustainability. Of course, music education, and then youth incarceration prevention. So the way that I'm seeing it now, because I'm really trying to see, outside of being a teacher, how can I make a living off of being a musician. So with that, I feel like I've seen how much people are willing to pay to see me perform. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, if I'm making this money off of my own performances, I can definitely raise money to give back to different causes. And so those are three causes that are personal to me. Yeah. And so that's what the foundation pretty much focuses on, is raising money for causes, for programs that are already in place. Because I've also noticed I can create a music education program or create this, this, and this, but there's so many programs already in Chicago that's doing that, mm-hmm. that I'd rather contribute to that because I can't take on that project right now. So I figured the least I can do is raise money yeah. for this. So for our first benefit concert, we were able to, I had a very low goal of $500 to raise, mm-hmm. and we ended up raising over $3,000. Wow. Yeah,
that.
Yeah. I was like, awesome. People got money.
For real. And if you don't ask, it's like you're not going to receive.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And we were able to sponsor, 11 or 13 black students that came from single-parent households for their piano lessons for a month. So, right. yeah, awesome. I figure it's to start, but like, once again, coming from a single parent household, I know how it feels when your mom can't afford lessons. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't get lessons, if you're not practicing consistently, your skills fall off yeah. all because you don't have enough money. It's just yeah. not fair. So it was really sweet to see one of the parents cried. Another one, mm-hmm. they had their kids make thank you cards just mm-hmm. saying like, I didn't even know how we were going to pay for lessons this month. And then this comes through. So I'm just mm-hmm. like, here I am trying to aim for 500, and yeah. I should have been aiming at 3,000.
Okay, look at God.
So, right, look at God.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Yes. Okay, I have another question. Well, it's kind of a comment. Yes, you have to be a good musician. Yes, you have to, have your videos on point. But, Ayana, I also feel like you and yourself are a brand.
Thank you.
Like, you don't follow her on social, but like... But you can only imagine yeah. from what, look at her personality. So I feel like part of it is like, you have to bring yourself to whatever you do because they're not only paying for the experience. They're paying for the person, the yes. brand, the you, everything, you know?
Yes.
So like, did you I'm just going to be myself or just like, did you ever think about the fact that you are a brand as well?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like intentionally. So me and my mom were just talking, growing up, I performed with my younger cousins. They played violin and viola. And our mothers refused to ever let us dress casual. And if we did dress casual, it was like dress pants. That's the most casual we could dress. Other than that, we were always wearing gowns. Mm-hmm. I could never wear jeans. I could never wear jeans. Like, none of that.
Even to this day, she's not wearing jeans now.
You're right.
She's wearing a dress.
Right. But yeah, it's just that's how we were raised, and it was frustrating back then because who wants to be in an itchy gown being, 15 years yeah. old, and I'd rather be out with my friends anyway. So it's just like growing yeah. up, I'm so glad they instilled that in us because it created a level of professionalism extremely young and created a very respected, like you dress to the job that you want to have.
Yep.
And that's the type of clients I attract. And so it was very intentional. Now that I'm older, I don't have to wear the gowns that I wore when I was 16. I could wear the gowns with splits and low cut and yeah. low back and all mm-hmm. that and kind of more sexy. But mm-hmm. the point being is, if you're paying $10 or $10,000, like I'm always going to come in a dress or dressed extremely nice mm-hmm. and not the, no offense, but not the boring like orchestra concert all black. Yeah. I'm going to, add a yeah. little sexiness yeah. to it, but not... Yeah. anything ridiculous. So when I see other musicians in No Shade, when they come to their performances in jeans, even if it is a casual event, I'm like, my main thing is don't ever look like somebody in the audience. Mm. You should always stand out.
Like you're performing.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. should look like you're supposed to be on stage. And mm-hmm. a lot of musicians in Chicago, they're extremely talented, but when it comes to their look, what we've learned is like music is just as much visual as it is
yep.
auditory. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen it where I've gotten booked over other people that are honestly more talented than me just because of how I look.
Wow.
And how I dress and how I carry myself and the professionalism. And so, no, it's all very intentional to have mm-hmm. a very girly, feminine, but also boss type of brand mm-hmm. because then there have been plenty of times when little girls will see me, little boys, and be like, I want to play the cello. And then I'll be standing right next to a saxophonist who looks like anybody on the street, and they don't say, I want to play the saxophone. It's just the representation, all that matters. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the way I dress also goes hand in hand with the type of clientele I attract, which usually looks like BMW or Macy's,
right,
or the people that can pay the higher amount. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's all very intentional.
That's awesome.
I refuse to ever look basic at a gig unless I'm just having an extremely off day, which, no, because you paid a certain amount.
Right.
I want people to get what they're paying for, so.
That's good.
So yeah. How does that brand, like, go into, like, so, like, you mentioned that there's a very small, like, you know, classical, especially, like, community, especially for Black people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you feel? Do you feel like, since there's so few of you, that you have to compete against, you know, this like small pool so that you can beat out because there's already not that many opportunities for you guys? Or do you feel like, oh, well, we need to all like help each other out and stick together because of, you know, like how does that work for you?
So for me personally, no, because there are so many gigs in Chicago that are looking for hip hop instrumentalists that have traditional are just looking for something different. Like most growing up, most of my gigs were classical, but now I never get requested for classical. It's all hip hop, classical infused.
That's crazy.
And yeah, exactly. And it's just something different and refreshing and that people can turn up to. But with that being said, there have been events where I've been booked with other violinists for the same events, or I'll have a gig the same day and I can't do it, and so I pass it off to another violin. Like there's just many gigs to go around, and so I personally don't feel like there's competition. For me, it's more so really inspirational to see how they're doing it, how are they executing, getting more gigs, getting partnerships, all this stuff. But what I will say was a turning point for me specifically, that's just in Chicago, but on social media, is when violinists, violists, cellists, saxophonists, different instrumentalists that fuse hip-hop with whatever, jazz, classical, when I was looking up to them and following them and being inspired by them, trying to get out of my box and create my own brand, when I started posting more videos and they started to see it, they were actually following me back.
Yeah.
And so, or sending me messages, or just, you know, engaging with me in the sense of like, oh, I see you. Okay, this is pretty good. And it's just like, when you get that validation from other musicians that you respect so much and are inspired by, it's just like, dang, maybe I do sound okay. Maybe I sound as good as I thought I did.
Yeah.
And I actually got to meet one of them. Her name is Mappy.
I think I saw it on your
story. Is so adorable. And she, I've never seen anybody like her. She fuses classical with mainly soca. She does hip hop too, but soca, dancehall, reggae, just the Caribbean
type
of music.
Okay.
Yes. And she's so adorable, but she has an amazing story, but watching her growth and then being able, she actually followed me on Instagram a while ago. And then when I found out she was coming to Chicago, of course I bought a ticket, and she was just as excited to meet me as I was to meet her.
Wow.
And so it's extremely humbling when you realize who your Beyoncé's in this field is.
Yeah.
Think you're just as talented.
That is so dope.
Yeah.
It's cool because like, just like you saying that, it reminds you like, everyone is still human, no matter how like high they get. Like just to hear you say like she was just as excited to meet you as you were to meet her. But like years back, you might never have even thought like that. You know, like you said, you're following her and you're watching her progress, and then now she's following you. And like I feel like that's something we all like seek to aspire to. Or whatever,
and I feel like we downplay ourselves.
We do.
Dang, like we tell ourselves so many lies and just like, we beat ourselves up before we give anyone else the chance to do it. And it's like, we have to change that narrative. And so you mentioned like, oh, it's great to get that validation from like other people I look up to. But what about when you were first starting out and you didn't get that validation? Like, let's talk about those transition seasons when you were like, dang, this is hard. Or just like, you know, how was that experience like getting to the climb before you reached the BMW, the Macy's and all that?
Yeah, it was rough because my confidence was extremely low because I just wasn't where where I wanted to be skill-wise. My intonation was still not on point. And of course, the person who does not have a classically trained ear, they're not going to know it from a can of paint that I'm not playing how I should sound.
But you know.
But I know.
Yeah.
And I know my mother knows.
Wait, quick question. Do you know Mr. Pritchett?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I was just about to say. this guy was big on intonation. He worked with Miss Lucinda. And, like, he used to be my teacher at High Park Suzuki. I used to have to put the violin down because I want to throw the thing, literally. You know, like, when you're off pitch and you're like, I have a lesson tomorrow. I don't have this song down. Like,
and I'm about to get treated.
Literally. And I'm paying money for this lesson.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, just getting my skills up. It's so frustrating because I wasn't as progressing as quickly as I wanted. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I feel discouraged to even practice. But without practicing, you don't get better.
Right.
And so it's just like, but then it got to the point where my first gig request was four. Actually, it might have been the second, but four. And it's just like, oh, hell no. This is going to be in front of Twista. Core Light or whatever the beer brand they're sponsoring, WGCI. Like, I'll be darned if I sound like trash. Mm-hmm. So that really pushed me to go hard, and we got the song together in a week. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, for somebody who doesn't know how to play by ear, that's a big deal to get a song together in a week. Now it's nothing. I've kept experiencing like milestones like that push me way past my limits. So I can stop being complacent. Mm-hmm. Like for another example has been, usually I would get requests to play for like 15 minutes or an hour at the most. But then I got a request to play for 3 hours.
Wow.
That was the longest I ever played. And that was only after a few months. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? But then again, it was for Chestnut Towers, which is a nice apartment building. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were paying a good amount. And I'm like, it would be ridiculous of me to pass up an opportunity just because... I am not preparing myself. Like, if I'm not prepared, then get prepared.
Right.
And so, once again, that pushed me to get 3 hours of repertoire together. And so, I keep experiencing stuff like that pushes me to move forward. And I think those really abrupt pushes is the reason I just had to get out of my comfort zone quicker.
Yeah.
Because if it was up to me, I would still not know how to improv.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
how many hours do you practice a day?
Okay, so I try.
On average.
I try to practice at least 3 hours of classical music and then whatever popular music I want to work on after that.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't always get executed, but usually I try to practice about 5 days a week because the weekends are most of my gigs. But at least 3 hours a day.
Okay.
But like I said, sometimes that's real hit or miss depending on how busy the week is.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell in my performances, like, whether I've practiced or not.
Mm-hmm.
There's that direct correlation. Did you feel like you started to value your own self more when your like following started to increase? You know what I mean?
Okay. I didn't know you were gonna say that. I wouldn't say when my followers went up. I didn't correlate my self-worth to the following. It was more so I correlated my self-worth to like how much I was improving on my actual cello.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't more so the social media validation with that. It was more so like, oh my God, I actually am becoming a cellist. It took me months to even tell people I'm a cellist.
Because
they would ask, do you do this full time? And I would just be like, oh, I just do it for fun. And then somebody one day was just like, so is this the only thing that you do? And so I'm just like, They were just like, well, why don't you call yourself a cellist? And I was just like, dang, that's...
You need people like that. No,
yeah, and it's
real.
Very nerve-wracking calling yourself something that you don't feel adequate enough to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, if that's your only income source, you are a cellist.
Right.
You are a such and such. So after I started calling myself that started to boost my self-worth. Just picturing myself in the lane that I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually coming to fruition,
kind
of boosted my self-worth. Hence why I just don't date anybody or give anybody my time or anything. Because you just can't let anybody in your space. So
especially if you're busy and like you have a path that you're going towards. It's like literally if you're not riding this wave with me, then...
Because distractions will
book in busy.
Yeah, no, that's real. Yeah.
Have you ever had any like tough distractions? And I don't necessarily mean relationships, but just like anything in general that may have thrown you off of your cello game. Like, you know, how was that transition, you know?
Yes. It was a situationship, a guy that I was involved with, and it's just like, it was towards the end that it was just so draining, toxic, not productive, and my energy is extremely tied to other people. So once I cut that off, a weight lifted off my shoulder.
Right.
I felt way more motivated to practice. Like, with him, I wasn't practicing. I just wanted to lay in the bed. Like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy that I'm dating now, he's in the same field. You know, he's a musician too, as well as he's doing his own other stuff. But it's just like we have a much better understanding of what it takes to be a musician and not tainting each other's energies, because that will transfer into performances, practicing, all that motivation. So, yeah, that was a wake-up call to not be around certain people that's going to drain me. And so, yeah, there have been relationships, not just with guys, but friendships too, that I've just had to kind of, cordially, not anything bitter, but just like this friendship is just way too draining. So
how did you know when it was time to like
let it go?
It was actually I want to say there have been a few incidents where friends have, you know, asked me to perform, and there was one incident where a friend shorted me on money and didn't see why.
So they committed to one thing and did a complete other.
Yes, and didn't see why they were wrong in the situation. I'm just like, okay, we'll stop that.
See, that's when it's like blurring the line of friendship and like business. Because at the end of the day, like, I saw a tweet or an IG post or something the other day that was like, just because... something like, just because this is your budget doesn't mean like my, like something like my talent is lower to to your budget, and it's like, that's fine if that's your budget, but it's also fine that this is what I'm charging or whatever, because this is, this is what I equate my, you know, my skill set to, and so it's not fair for me to just have to do that, you know. So that's, but yeah.
And I think also, like, you can do it in a way where, because you post a lot on social, and like, you know, I post every now and then as well, and I know you post, but people can feel as though they are in your life and understand what's going on, but then they really don't And I feel like when it comes to certain things, like, when you get to, I'm sure, like, with all the followers you have and whatever, like, you booking gigs, like, you have to also keep in mind what you're going to keep close to your chest, because people think they have access to you. If you know what I
mean? They really do. You should see my DMs. I'm just like, really think it's okay to just...
say anything.
Yes. Or, it's interesting.
I have a question. So you're kind of like on this trajectory. So where do you see your career? This is weird, like, talking about this, because like, I don't talk to you this formally in real life, you know? Like, but like, what are your goals / where do you see yourself going within the next few years? Like, do you want to be on stage with Beyonce, or do you want to be like at the Grammys, or do you want to have your own studio? Like, what's your goal, you know, short term?
So I'm honestly still trying to figure that out. Like, I know what's in my head now, but like I said, after seeing Beyonce at Coachella, and she has all these music, like, I feel like my goals are way too low for myself, because I haven't seen what all is possible. I would never even imagine something like that Coachella performance if I hadn't seen it. And so I want to say I would love, I do miss playing in orchestras. I grew up playing in the Chicago Symphony Youth Orchestra. Yeah, and U of I's orchestra for one semester, but then, you know. But yeah, I miss orchestral music and chamber music and all that kind of stuff. So, but I would like to gear more towards like playing for movie scores, commercial, you know, type of realm of classical. Fun and light and stress-free. But I would also, I'm still debating if I would like to go on a tour, because tours are extremely draining. Going from city to city with a bunch of people that you may be
cool with, maybe
you may not. Exactly. But I know for sure, like, my goal overall, I want to say within the 5 years, is to like sustain myself being a philanthropist musician, where I can perform, do all that kind of stuff, but also give back through music, raise money through music, and be involved in programs that already exist. I don't really want to create a music school or create something that is already going on in Chicago. So, yeah, that would
be original. I feel like the fact that you're in the lane that you are is pretty original as well. And like, you don't want to copy people. You know what I mean? Like, there's one thing, like second mover's advantage, where it's like, oh, one person's done it, I'm gonna do it better. After learning, but there's oversaturation, I think, in the Chicago market for sure.
I definitely agree. But I would say in the long run, I would definitely want to go back to the university level. And I don't know if I would be a professor in music or whatever, but I definitely know I want to go back to the university and be a professor in one of the fields that I'm passionate about. mm-hmm. while still performing and doing whatever I want to do.
I've heard you say that before.
Yeah.
That's true. She's telling the truth, y'all. That's like the retirement. <That's fine. laughs>
So, yeah.
That's cool.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. So, I was going to ask, like, what about other people's success motivates you? Like, as far as that can be musicians or, like, something that's not even related to music, but, like, what is it about seeing other people that makes you go, like, I want to do that or I can do that? And then, like, if you do have that thing, like, where do you draw the line between, like, then comparing yourself to them and then trying to, you know, and then getting, you know, becoming, like, self-deprecating because you're yeah. trying to fill some shoes that are not yours?
Yes. Really good question.
That is a good question, girl.
It is. And I think in the beginning, I would always compare myself, hence why I would always get discouraged. Mm-hmm. And then it got to a point when I started playing with Evie, mm-hmm. the guitarist, who we also went to school with, where I thought he was just so amazing because he could improv, he could pick up on stuff so quickly. And I was just like, oh, I wish I was that good, but I'm not mm-hmm. good enough to do mm-hmm. what he's doing. I don't feel adequate enough to play with somebody who's so much more experienced. Mm-hmm. But then the whole time he's looking at me like, you're the experienced one yeah. because you're getting booked and this and this and this. That's so crazy. It's just like, yeah. I had to really change my mindset to, instead of being intimidated by people, like you said, being encouraged mm-hmm. by them and inspired by them. And so once I did that, I started realizing, like, it doesn't matter who's the better musician. It just mm-hmm. matters, like, what the finished product is yeah. and what the process looks like. True. In terms of creating music and creating something that the audience is going to enjoy. Because that's mm-hmm. another thing I get wrapped up in is like, oh, it doesn't sound good to me, but then my audience enjoys it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So just shifting the energy has mm-hmm. been a struggle over time. But going back to your question, the things that inspire me, especially on social media, is seeing like Nzema, the violinist, yeah. or Mappy, putting out mm-hmm. covers to songs that I wouldn't even think of, because Mappy, she plays along with melody. She has a very mm-hmm. distinct style. But yeah. Nzema, she's really good at incorporating classical pieces
yep.
into hip-hop, like, intentionally. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to work towards. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, seeing people more so as a standard to reach, opposed to, like, oh, I'm not good enough to right. be like you.
Right.
And so I really had to get out of that mindset of thinking, like, if you were to ever ask me to play with you one day, I feel like I'm not good enough, so I'm going to say no. Once mm-hmm. again, like, don't turn down opportunities just because you're not prepared. Just mm-hmm. get prepared.
True that.
So, yeah.
Because they may not come back. Like, you never know.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, I would say that's one of the main things I get inspired by is watching other musicians on social media put their content out. Whether I think it's better than mine or mm-hmm. not as good, it's still good to see what other people are doing, how they're creating, what they're creating. Yeah. To no shade once again to see mm-hmm. what I don't want my stuff to look like and sound like, but mm-hmm. also what I do want.
That's real. My stuff to look like. That's you got to get your intonation up.
You got to get the video quality, all that up. Yeah, because some people in Chicago just I'm looking like, did you really think that was a good yeah. idea to put out?
It's all about how the audience receives it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I was gonna mention, so you know, talk about other musicians. So I feel like it's really important to have that cohort in that community. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like we support each other enough, like, or that musicians support each other enough, the Black community outside supporting musicians enough?
So I would say musicians, and I think I have a biased point of view because there's not a lot of Black cellists. Therefore, mm-hmm. if somebody does want a Black cellist, they come to me. Like, I just have that niche, but there are a ton of Black That's violinists, true. So they may have a different mm-hmm. yeah. feeling of competition among yeah. themselves. Mm-hmm. But, wait, what was the original question?
Just, do you feel like there's a good community of Black musicians who support each other in the city, or is it just like, yeah?
I personally feel like there, specifically amongst instrumentalists, because that's what I worked with the most, but mm-hmm. I feel like there is, mainly because, like I said, if I have a gig that I can't do, I'll be like, can you do it? Are you free? Right. And they do the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's just my personality or not, because I've heard other musicians say they don't feel like there is that sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, is it you?
I feel like being social helps. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Know? And I just genuinely like connecting with people, picking their brain, like sharing tips with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a sense of community, but I also know who I can go to, right. who to trust, who's professional, mm-hmm. who I can recommend. And then also who maybe I can't trust, but I'll admire you from a distance right. and watch your growth from a distance.
True so, that. True that.
Do you ever, because like you talk about like taking different gigs and like having people pass along gigs or you pass along gigs, do you feel like you have transitioned into a period of like, you feel comfortable enough to be like, oh, I know that another gig is coming soon? Or do you feel like, oh my gosh, I need some money. Like, when is
that's
the next
a good
gig
one.
Come?
Girl,
like,
that is a great when your question. Hands start itching, you like, listen, hold on. My bills are due.
Yes. Like, ooh, oh my gosh. So, speaking of bills, that was one thing that I made sure when I did go full time is that other than student loans, which I'm not paying on right now, I don't have any bills. Right. And so once the gigs were consistent, that's when I got my first bill, which was credit card. Mm-hmm. And then once they started getting better, I invested in an electric cello, which I'm still paying on.
Which was a good investment.
It definitely was.
It's a career investment. Yeah. So it's not just like,
right. But with that being said, my expenses are very minimal. Mm-hmm. But going back to your question, dang it, what was the question?
Just like, do you feel stable with gigs coming in?
So for the most part, I have felt stable, especially during holiday seasons. December was so stressful because there was at least 2 gigs every weekend.
Wow.
And now I'm realizing the goal is not to be booked and busy. It is to be booked with maybe 2 big performances a month.
Yeah,
like,
true.
I do not want to be booked
only
every week.
Only a month?
No, like each month.
Right, but still, I feel like that's not a lot, but you
it's
think that's
not,
enough?
But if you're getting paid, and this is not what I'm getting paid, but if you're getting paid like $5,000 per gig for 2 gigs, do you really need to do 10 other gigs? Like, it's a process going to set up, take down, sound check, all this is such a process that you get tired very quickly. And while people are working 9 to 5s and get burnt out, you can get burnt out working Friday to Monday nonstop, and then you got to take the whole week just to recuperate, and you don't even practice. So it's just like,
it's a different lifestyle than a 9 to 5 for
yes,
sure.
Yes, and my gigs always fall at night. Like, it's just complete shift.
Yeah.
But I want to say for the most part it has been stable. But oh God, I want to say there was a one point in time where the money was a little slow, and I was getting
money.
A little worried.
A lot of money.
And yeah, but then I prayed on it, and the gigs came right back up. So I'm let me keep my prayer. But that's another thing, is when my gigs are slow and I post videos, they get right back up.
That's crazy.
So
that's crazy. So it's really tied to social for you.
It really is. In addition to word of mouth.
Yeah.
And prayer. Oh, God.
Amen. Yeah. Let's give God the credit.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Okay, we have to wrap up soon. Do you? We can go to rapid fire.
Sure.
Let's do it. I've learned a lot more about your process.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like it was all over the place.
But that's crazy. I mean, I think that people don't know how much you can truly live off of being a musician. Because in my mind, I'm like, can you really live off of that? But clearly, like, you can.
But also, I don't have to pay rent. Like I said, I'm living at home. My expenses are borderline non-existent. And I have family help until I blow. But also seeing how much people are willing to pay, I'm like,
A niche.
It is. But I also feel like if I was a white acoustic guitarist, I would not get the same bookings as I
am. True that. We have to use our blackness to our advantage.
That's what I'm
saying.
Sorry,
not sorry.
Exactly.
Well, because it's not always an advantage. So when it is one, we need to take
it. Capitalize.
Yeah.
And you know, being decent looking, having short hair and a big butt, like, it's a very distinct look
that I like
to use to my favor.
Okay, cool. So we're going to go into rapid fire questions.
Yes, we are. Okay, so for our listeners that are faithful, thank you for being faithful. But no, seriously, so we're going into our last segment now called The Last, which is a speed round segment of rapid fire questions that take you from your 11:59 to your 12 o'clock. So just like in our transition seasons, there is that tough pressure that's on in that final season right before you jump in into your breakthrough. So we're gonna put the same type of pressure on Miss Ayana in this this next 60 seconds. So Sasha has her
timer
out.
You cannot go over.
She'll be ready.
And be like, hold on, you're done. You're done.
You might, if you hear like dogs barking, I think that's just like her.
That's
timer,
my timer.
So.
I like the dogs. I think I want to get a dog.
But yeah, so we're just going to ask a bunch of silly random questions that have nothing to do with anything, but we're just going to lighten the mood a bit. So, ready?
Ready? Let's go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go. Okay. If you had a superpower, what would it be and why?
Ooh, teleportation. Because I am tired of driving.
Okay. What's the last thing you got excited about?
Ooh, there were like 5 gig requests that just came in today. I think that
Ooh,
was...
Wow. Come on.
Just, I don't know what happened in the water, but...
Okay, the best meal you've had all week.
I'll go with this pizza.
It is pretty good.
That is. Ooh, have you ever ghosted somebody?
Of course.
Yes. She said, of course. No shame. Okay, what's one guilty pleasure?
Not texting people back.
I hate it. Okay, when was the last time
you apologized?
Oh, I feel like I apologize like every day. Probably like yesterday.
Is that it?
Dang! That's it. That was good. You weren't that like nervous. You were like, oh, I got this.
Really?
Well, we had a super good time talking to you, and like I learned a lot. Like okay. I said,
wait, before we go, I do want to know one piece of advice. All so, right. like, if you had to talk to, you know, little 5-year-old Ayana, or like, or just anyone out there, whether they're a musician, whether they're black, they're white, whatever, and they're going through a transition season, and you were like, listen, if I'd known this before, this is what I would want you to know. What's something that you would tell?
I would definitely say it is never too late to start, quit, and restart. And it is never too late to learn, quit, and relearn. Mm. If I knew that I had the option to enjoy the cello as a kid, go to college, take a break, come back, and get back into it, I wouldn't have been so stressed trying to catch up. Because I'm 27 now. And I feel like if I would have just kept playing for 7 years, I could have been so much farther. Mm-hmm. But it's also like if I would have kept playing for 7 years, I wouldn't have had a lot of the experiences that I did to prepare me to be way more than a musician. Yeah. So I would just say it's never too late.
Yeah,
it's
that's awesome. Never that's too really late. Good. And trust in the process.
Yes. Hello.
Come on. Yes. Come on. Listen. Because also the fact that you took a 7-year break means that you probably appreciate this way more. You take it for granted.
Yeah. Way more.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's what's up. Well, we're so happy we had you today.
Yay.
And we'll leave all of her social media below so you can get in touch with Miss Ayana.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining us today. Bye. Bye. Oh, wait.
Oh.
Okay, we're going to say the podcast name at the end. Ready?
Wait, you got a reminder just in case.
So
you
it's
forgot.
11:59.
Girl.
11:59, Young, Gifted, and Transitioning. You know the Nina Simone song. You're woke.
Okay.
No, she doesn't. Okay. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. 11:59, Young, Gifted, and Transitioning.
What is up, Transition Tribe? Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. Congratulations, you made it to the end, and shout out to you if you're still listening. So I really thought that Yana's episode was super dope and very, very, very relevant to what we're going through in today's society. So especially in the age of social media, especially in the age of transitioning through one season to the next and going through areas of gray where you have no idea what's going on. The idea of comparison versus motivation stuck out to me and was super relevant. I think that we can draw a very fine line between when somebody motivates you or when someone makes you compare yourself to them and you start to think negatively about your own situation. And so today's challenge is going to reflect just that. Now I want you guys to sit and really think. If there are any triggers that breed negative mindsets in your guys' life, especially with regards to social media. So if there's a person that you follow, several people that you follow, you know, pages that you interact with online, people even in person that you interact with that make you feel negatively about yourself, that make you start to turn that motivation into like self-hatred or into negative mindsets or into comparison to someone else, I want you to do one thing for me. Unfollow them.
stop doing the thing that breeds negative results. So if you constantly see a page or a person or interact with something on TV, and every time you look at that person, you start to compare yourself. I wish my hair was like this. I wish my body was like this. I wish I was at this level in my career like she is or like he is. Every time you see that person or that thing and it makes you think like that, there's only one thing to do. Stop looking at that thing, period. It's that easy. And it's going to be difficult because we're like, you know, in some sense, we are like, well, I want to, you know, see that constantly so that I can be motivated. But I feel like deep down in your heart, if you truly, truly, truly know that every time you look at that, it makes all of these negative thoughts and self-like condemnation come, it's time to stop. Cut it out. We don't need that. We need positivity and we need healthy motivation, because if you don't nip it in the bud soon enough, it can turn very unhealthy. And that's not what we want for y'all, Transition Tribe. Okay, so I know that this week's challenge might seem a little silly or it might seem a little different for you guys, but I really want you guys to take it seriously and let us know, as always, if it works for you guys. In the comments, in our social media, shout us out. Let us know how this episode has helped you and what else we can do to help you guys through these transition seasons. So, as always, we love you. Peace and blessings. Until next time. Bye.